My name's Joy Cruzadas, and I'm from Calvary Chapel Pico Rivera, and I've been there since it started. We were a church plant from La Mirada, from your church, so it's just, La Mirada is very special to me. I also attend Bible college there with Angie and some other girls out here. This is my last year, so I've been really blessed there. I got the title, and I was really excited, and I'll tell you why later, but Isaiah 61, 2, we'll start there, and it's 2 and 3. While you guys are turning, I'll go ahead and start in prayer. Can't do it without that. Lord, we do just thank you for this time, Lord. We thank you for bringing us here, Lord, for making a way that we might spend this weekend with you, Father, and I ask that we just are just calmed in our hearts, Father, that we're open to your word, Lord, and your spirit, Father. I pray that you're here amongst us, Lord, and just open up your word to us, Father, and teach us what you might have for us, Lord. All the teachings this weekend just resonate your truth, Father, and we all are going to touch on similar subjects, Father, but all in a different way, Lord. And I thank you for every woman here, Father. I pray that as you know what they're going through, Father, that the word speaks to them, Lord, and Lord, you let you have all the glory this weekend, Father, and it's not about people, Lord, it's about you, and you get all the praise and honor that you deserve, Lord, and we just honor the King, Lord, in this time, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So Isaiah 61 says, 61:3, I'll start in 2, though. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. I like the way the NIV translates it as well. I'm going to read just, I believe, 3 to you in the NIV. To bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Now I want to talk just a little bit about ashes and beauty. We know that ashes would represent mourning or grieving or anything that causes sorrow, suffering, pain, distress, anything that we go through that would cause those things. So what they would do in the biblical times is they would put ashes on their forehead, they'd put on sackcloth robes, you know, that they're real scratchy and they rub against you and they're not comfortable, and this would be a sign of their mourning. But beauty, which is quite the opposite, would relate to the times of that they were rejoicing, that there was celebration, that there was peace and just a time of festivity. And they would replace those sackcloth robes with garments of beauty. And they would put these beautiful ornamental robes on and headdresses that were beautiful. That's where the crown of beauty comes from. So ashes and beauty, quite opposite. So I just wanted to touch on that a little bit. Now, there's some more people coming in. But the first thing I'm going to do is share with you a little bit about last year. And I came and I did a workshop last year on suffering and joy. So I need to touch on that only because it directly relates to today's study. And I explained to them in my workshop last year that I was I had gotten some injuries at work. So I was in suffering. I have back and neck injuries. I actually have about 8 discs from my neck to my back that are not very good. They're damaged. The one in my neck especially, doctors have told me I needed to have it removed, and they want to put a cadaver disc in me and with a metal plate to hold it together. Praise God that I said no on that, and we'll see why later. But I had a lot of back injuries. I was taken off work, and I was told, you know, the doctors were telling me, you're never going to work again, you could just forget it, you know, your life as you knew it is pretty much, it's going to be different now, much different now. And of course, I'm devastated. You know, I was devastated. My life was really just turned upside down, and I was a Christian. I had been a Christian a long time. I went to another Calvary Chapel. For about, you know, 7-8 years, I was a comfortable Christian. I went to church, you know, every Sunday, and that was about it. You know, I say it's like I love the Lord, but I didn't live for the Lord. You know, there's a difference. You can love the Lord, but you may not be living for the Lord. So that's where I was, and the Lord just really turned my life upside down, gave me the injuries. Changed my whole life in a day, and I started to slip into a depression. I didn't know it. It was coming. It was maybe it took about 4 to 6 weeks. I was at home. I couldn't go anywhere. I couldn't do anything. I was in this incredible amount of pain, and I fell and slipped into this depression. And the only way I woke up out of it is one day I remember, and this is what I can really remember from it. But I woke up, and I remember looking at the clock, and it was like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And I was like, oh my gosh, my husband's at work, my kids are at school, and it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm thinking, Lord, I got to go get my son from school in an hour, and I can't get up. I was debilitated. I just could not get out of bed. And I looked at that, and I'm like, okay, Lord, what do you want to speak to us on that? And I remember that I had a choice in that moment. Now, I could either give up on God. I could say, this is too hard. God, I'm done with you. You're not helping me. Look where you're putting me. How can I be in this? I'm a Christian. I go to church every week. You know, I read the Bible. I could give up. I could get angry. I could turn from God. I could just decide that I'm done. And I didn't want to make that choice. So what I did was... I just actually literally got out of bed and went to my knees. I just went to my knees, and I remember just like falling out of bed and just going to my knees and like, you know, Lord. And I know in that moment that was my surrender. You know, if we could just go to our knees, if we could just go down low like we've been talking about these last 2 days. Humble ourselves, be in that humility. That's where God meets us. That's where we have to be for God to meet us. And I was about as low as I could go, as low as I had ever gone in my life that I can remember. And I went to my knees and I said, Lord. And I went in submission. And I went in surrender. And totally knowing that it was not... I had no strength of my own. It was only going to be the Lord's. So my first point is surrender. And I know that God truly, I truly believe God pulled me out of that pit, out of that surrender. There was no other way. I was in all my humility. I was on the floor. I knew I needed to surrender and submission, you know, to where God had me in that moment. And we find ourselves just in really hard times, but God allowed us to be there, and that's what we're going to look at. Like, why does God allow us to be there? So go down low, bow down, put on humility like Christ did. There's a beautiful psalm that I'll point you to. You can turn there if you'd like, but I'll read it. Psalm 3:3 says, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. So we got to surrender, because he's the only one that's going to lift our head. We don't want to stay in that pit, you know, that dark place, that utter despairing place. We can get bitter there. And once bitter grabs a hold of your heart, you know, it's going to take you a lot to get out of it. Bitter roots. They're bitter is strong. It has a strong root. So we don't want to get bitter and give up. We want to surrender it and take that first step. So first step, surrender, just like much of faith. Yeah, I don't know how many of you, who read the book? Did anyone read the book here? A few of you, you got to read it. Got to read it. When I read it, I was like, wow, I feel like I've been on this journey. For me, it was physical pain. For her, it was her fear. For Lisa, like she said, it's from the body. So it could be, for you, it could be your marriage. You could have a hard marriage. For you, it could be, you know, not being able to have children, or having a sick child, or your finances, or a foreclosure, or, I don't know, what else? What else do we need to surrender? Does anyone have anything?
Cancer.
Cancer. Mm-hmm. It's a big one. Yeah. Anyone else?
A death.
Death. Yes, that would cause grieving, mourning. Anyone else? Yeah, so there's a lot we have to surrender. And it's hard. You don't want to surrender it. You think that you can handle it on your own and that you have any strength, but we have none. We have no strength. So, I'll go to point number two. What I had to do next, after I surrendered, after I went to my knees, I had to seek God's will. I had to say, okay. And I remember praying this, and I didn't know it then. I knew it as I started getting ready for this. I asked the Lord to show me what he wanted me to talk about, and I didn't realize I was doing that last year. I didn't realize that I was surrendering and that I was seeking his will. I had no idea until I started studying for this. And I remember I had to seek God's will. And I when I went to my knees, I surrendered, Lord help me, and then I said, what are you trying to show me in this? I remember asking that. What are you teaching me? What am I going to gain from this? What do you want out of this? So it's seeking God's will. We know that one thing about God's will is that it's perfect, right? My will, our will is flawed. Our will is not perfect. God's will is all-knowing. Our will is blind. We only see what's right in front of us. You see, just we have this short-sightedness. God has the entire plan, and I only see just tunnel vision, right? I don't know what the entire plan of God is. God is seeing our lives as it's already happened. It's like a parade. I don't know if you guys have ever heard that analogy before, but it's like a parade. Say you're at the parade, you're sitting there, you're seeing a float go by. You're like, oh, that's awesome. You know, what's next? You see another float go by. And, you know, in suffering, it's not awesome. But if you're just watching the float, you're seeing it go by. And you're kind of looking and you're trying to see what's ahead, but you just have just that little bit of vision. You don't have the whole vision, right? Well, God is above the parade. And he's looking down. And he sees the first parade. The first parade float, and he sees the last one. So he sees the first float, and he sees the last one at the same time. So like our lives, he sees day one to the last day. And he knows what it's going to take in between those days to get us to him, to get us to our final glory place. So, you know, we have to see it in God's eyes, because the Lord knows what's best for us. I don't know what the future holds, but you've heard it said, God holds the future, right? And we want our, you know, the things our way. We say, well, God, why can't it be like this? Why do I have to go through what I'm going through right now? You know, I don't want to go through this. I don't understand it. And we think God owes us, like, some type of explanation or something. You know, he doesn't owe us anything. We're saved by grace. 2 Corinthians 12:9 through 10. You go with me there. It says, and this is Paul. And Paul had went up to heaven. He was caught up into paradise. And he heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. And he was, because of that, he was given a thorn in his flesh, right? Now he had this thorn in his flesh, and he prayed to the Lord that the Lord would remove it 3 times. And this is what the Lord said. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So he's saying, you know, Christ's power may only come in our weaknesses. he asked the Lord to remove it, and the Lord said, no, my grace is enough. And then what did God do? He used Paul mightily. Paul was then so, had the ability then to be used so mightily. I mean, look at the epistles that we have now because of what Paul wrote. And 2 Timothy 2:3, I was debating on whether to put this one in. I'm thinking, oh, this kind of sounds a little like for the guys, but it's cool that Lisa was talking about that right now. 2 Timothy 2:3, you therefore must endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We're soldiers for Christ. We need to be faithful. What do you guys think of when you think of a soldier? What's the first word that comes into your mind? What would you say? Disciplined. Yes. What else? Fearless. What else? Strength. Yes. Obedience. What about obedience? They're obedient. And they're going to take it if it comes at them, right? So it's saying be a soldier like Jesus Christ. Endure the hardships. Be a soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure his hardships. Hebrews 2:10. Another verse. For it was fitting for him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory. That's us. We're the sons that God wants to bring to glory. To make captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. That's about Jesus. Jesus is the captain or the leader. He's the originator of our salvation. He suffered so that we might have salvation. His endurance of that suffering makes him our example or our leader. We should follow his lead. We know that Jesus suffered willingly. Lisa was talking about that a little bit right now, about how Jesus took it willingly. He went to the cross for us. He surrendered his will to the Father. So we've talked about surrender in our present condition, whatever it is that we're going through, whether it's physical, kids, family, job. You may have a job that you struggle with daily. Your kids may be rebellious, have walked away. They may be sick. Cancer, diseases, illnesses. What else did we talk about? It could be any number of things. But we've got to surrender it to the Lord. We have to go to the throne of grace. That's what Jesus opened the door for. He made that way that we could go and humble ourselves before God. And then we talked about seeking God's will for the conditions that we are. You know, the thing that I like to remember is that the conditions we're in, the trial, the tribulation, the suffering, the pain, the distress, anxiety, whatever it is, those things change. Their conditions, they change. Their circumstances, they change. God doesn't change. His word is truth. It's truth. Every single thing in there, it's truth. It doesn't change. Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. It says that in Hebrews, right? The word doesn't change. If we could just hold on to what it says, we can remember our conditions are temporary. God will work those out. And why he's working it out, he has the reason for it. He's seen our life from the beginning to the end, and he's going to work it all out according to his plan. What he wants you to do, preparing you for heaven. Maybe it's just preparing us for heaven. Maybe we're having to go through things because people are just watching us. Everyone in our sphere of what do you call that? The influence. Our sphere of influence. People are watching you. Do you know, when they know you're a Christian, they're really watching you.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you, that speaks louder than if you open that Bible and try to read to them every day how you're acting and behaving. And if you're not being like Christ, they're going to say, I don't want any of that. Well, our greatest witness is our testimony, how we act every single day. You can't say you're a Christian and don't act like Christ. It's so contrary. And we forget. Yes, we're sinners. We sin every single day. But the conditions change. God doesn't. And we need to stay obedient. Be the soldiers. Be geared up. and do what we got to do and take it. Take it like a Christian. Take it like Christ took it. That's where we see the glory. Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about last year. Now, I say all that because when I was in the workshop and I taught the about suffering and joy, and I went through my whole testimony that I just shared with you really briefly. But what I want to talk to you now about is what happened the Saturday night of last year's retreat. Who was here last year? Okay. It was so cool because we're in the meeting room that we were just at. And everything was finishing up. We had the worship time. It was really sweet. We had the prayer time, that little afterglow time. And it was really awesome, awesome time. And as I was leaving, we finally, there was like little pockets of people like around the room, but mostly everyone had left. And I was with some of my friends from PICO there. We're talking still. And there was maybe like 10 or 12 of us left and a few ladies from La Mirada. And I got my stuff, and I started to leave. We're like, oh, let's go hit the jacuzzi, right? So we're picking up our stuff, and we're getting ready to leave. Well, this lady came up to me. And she comes right up to me, and she grabs me by the hands, and she's like, do you remember me? I was in your workshop. And I'm like, yeah, I remember you. She was sitting, like, right in front of me. Like, if you're sitting right in front of me, she was, like, right in front of me. I was by the fireplace there in the where we eat, the dining room, right outside. That's where I was. She's sitting right in front of me, and she says, you remember me? I said, yeah. She goes, well, you know, I was in your workshop, and the Lord knows you've suffered, and he wants me to pray for you. And I'm like, oh, cool. I'm thinking, all right, she wants to pray for me. How sweet. You know, that's awesome. So she starts to pray for me, and she grabbed my hands, and she was, like, really, really close. And I'm like, okay, now let's pray. And she's saying, no, God has heard you, and he wants to heal you. He wants to restore you. And she looked, like, really serious. And I'm like, okay, wow, I'm like, cool, okay. No, the last 4 years, he knows. And she, like, knew. Like, if she memorized everything I talked about, he knows the last 4 years that you've suffered. He wants to give you those years back. And she starts praying, and we're just close. And she's praying, and she starts praying, and I just remember she starts quoting scripture. Like, she's throwing scripture at me. She's saying things like, he wants to restore the years the swarming locust has eaten. Yeah. That's in Joel 2:25. I looked all these up. And he's inscribed you on the palm of his hands. That's Isaiah 49:16. He has every tear that you cried in a bottle. Psalm 56:8. And you're written in the Lamb's Book of Life, Revelation 21. And she says, I remember this one for sure, he wants to give you beauty for ashes. I was like, coincidence? Okay. You know, but there was so much power in the scripture. There was so much power in the word of God. It's like, that's where the power was coming from. It's not about her. I won't even mention her name. And she wouldn't want me to, but the power was in the words. It was amazing. And what started happening was, of course, like, I'm starting to cry, and she's crying, and her prayer was just getting, like, a little bit louder and, like, in more power. And I started feeling like if I needed to bend over, and I was bending over, I was kind of like this, and she's, like, kind of going down with me, and she's like, and he wants to heal you. And he wants to restore you. And he wants to give you back everything, you know, that was taken from you. And he holds every tear. And you're written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And she's going through all these, just a lot of Isaiah, you know, which is prophecy. And just a lot of powerful thing that she was telling me. And I started feeling like a pushing sensation. Like, you know, when you're having labor, but there was no pain. There was no pain. I was just feeling like pushing, like I'm like, like pushing, and I couldn't stand up straight. I was like bending over, and all like the ladies that were still there, like from my group, and then like Wendy was still there, Lisa was still there, Tony was still there. They all came and they laid hands, and everyone just started praying. So I'm just hearing like all these prayers going on, and meanwhile I'm like feeling like I'm in labor, And yeah, it's so funny. I was like, it was like labor, right? That's the only way I can explain it. And she's saying, you know, he wants to heal you. He wants to heal you. She just kept saying that. Restoration, you know, restoration, restoring you, restore you. And it felt like if something was leaving my body. It felt like it was from the top to the bottom coming out. It was like a sensation like pushing from up to out of me. And I just started feeling it, and I'm pushing, and I'm kind of like crying out. And she starts to say, birth the pain. You know, I was already feeling like birthing before she even mentioned it, but when she started mentioning it, I'm like, oh, wow, you know, birthing the pain. So I was birthing the pain. He knows everything you've gone through. He knows everything you've gone through. There's nothing we go through that is an accident. He knows every single thing. And it was just amazing. And I felt really hot. You know, it was like I felt a lot of heat. Mm-hmm. And I remember like Lisa, like she touched me. She's like, you feel so hot. But there was no sweat. You know, I wasn't sweating that kind of hot. It was like just the spirit, you know, the spirit moving through my body. And it was just really amazing. So, you know, things kind of slowed down. Eventually we had to slow down, right? We can't, that couldn't go on forever, although it would have been amazing if it did. But she stopped, and like the women just kind of like, oh, wow, did you see that? That was cool. And, you know, they're all talking amongst themselves, and she's still holding on to me. She just starts telling me, you know, God's going to use you. He wants you to minister to others. You know, he's few things, she said, and it was really beautiful. But she's like, God's gonna use you, and he, you know, I have the compassion for people in pain now, and I know that's why he puts us through things, because then we become useful to him. What good are we if we're not useful to the creator of the universe? You know, he created us, he made us for glory, to praise him, to honor him, to be his children, his daughter. You know, what are we here for if we're not serving the creator, the master of the universe? You have to ask yourself, well, what am I doing with my life? Is it honoring the king? Because if it's not, you really got to look at where you're putting your treasures. Where are you storing them? Are they on heavenly things? Or are they just things that are just going to burn? So after that, I just don't feel the pain that I used to feel. I don't feel the pain. I don't feel the pain. Do I feel like my injuries are still there? I feel like my body's the same, like Paul had the thorn. I know it's there, because even if I turn my neck, I feel it. But the pain is like been separated from my body. Now, how you explain that, you can't. It's only by his miraculous power that he wants to display on those that are loyal. And I'm not. But he will show himself. He will, because he has grace. He gives us grace. And he's forgiven my sin. So I'm able to now go to him in my sin, and him, he cleans it when I just ask him to. And it's like, people ask me, well, what do you mean? Like, you know, you don't have pain, but your injuries are still there. I go, it's like, kind of like if you're watching a TV. And you know the TV's on, and you see all the people moving around on the TV, and you hear the noise. But if you mute it, you don't hear anything. You still see everything. You still know TV's on, but you don't hear anything. That's kind of how I feel with my body. Like, I know my body's still messed up, and he's not going to take that away, because that's my little memorial stone. And don't even take it, because I need to be humble. I need to keep that remembrance and to stay humble. But it's like if he separated, and he took it from me, and he took the pain. But what comes with pain, does anyone in here live with chronic pain? Like, a few of you. So you know, with chronic pain, you also carry a lot of baggage with that. You carry like the anxiousness, and you carry the dread of like what you're going to go through that day. Like, I used to get up and not look forward to getting up, because I was like, okay, how am I going to get through today? What do I have to do? Am I going to have to, you know, heat, ice, pain medicine? well, you know, what is it going to take to get me through today? That's how bad my pain was, you know? So when he took that pain from me, it was like, wow, he like lifted. Not only did I birth the pain, but it's like I birthed the suffering that came with it. The depression that brings when you're in pain every day. Just everything, the discouragement. You know, it comes with a lot of other things. I love this verse, and I wanted to read it for you guys. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. But it's Jeremiah 32:27. And it says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" There's nothing too hard for God. He could take my pain away that I carried for 4 years. He could take our cancer away. He could take our little cut on our finger away. All the same. Nothing's too hard. But if he hasn't, then he has a reason for it. He's molding, he's shaping, like we've been talking about. He's you know, refining, he's squeezing, he's cutting, he's scraping off. He's all those things that are painful, but it's what's not necessary for your walk and ultimately to get to heaven. So I know after that, just feeling, you know, the Lord's restoration go through my body, I know Jesus is a restorer and he's a healer. And we know that he, and I say that, and how I know it's found in the word, but he left heaven. He came as man in the flesh, the second person of the Trinity, right? He was God in the flesh. As predicted throughout all of history, all of the Old Testament speaks of him. All the prophets talked about him. The Old Testament just, it's all about him. If you really get into it and study it, it just points to the Lord. You know, the sacrifices, the animals that had to be sacrificed, they were all pointing to Jesus as being the ultimate sacrifice once and for all. And what's amazing about Jesus' life is that, you know, we got to think about what he did when he was here. What did he come to do? Well, we know he walked among us. He wanted to be intimate with us. He wanted to feed us. He wanted to just teach people, to give them eternal life, to heal the sick. He healed the lame, the blind, the, you know, paralytics, the diseased, the lepers. He healed. He cured the sick. He healed the brokenhearted, the brokenness, the hurting people. He raised people from the dead. He raised people from the dead. Only God could do that. But most importantly, he healed our greatest sickness, which is sin. The greatest sickness that we have, the greatest injury, affliction, torment, is sin. And he healed that when he became man, took on the sin of the world, came in humility to walk among us, and then he took it all on himself, and he put it on the cross. He left it there. So we have ultimate healing. Physical healing, it's temporary. But the ultimate healing comes in getting rid of that sin that's going to keep us eternally separated from God. What scares me more than anything is even the thought of being eternally separated from God. I mean, can you just, if we think about that, I want to be with the Lord. Don't all of you? I mean, we want to be with the Lord. We don't want to die in our sin. I hope everyone here knows Jesus and what he did and recognize what he did on that cross and how he took it all on himself. And he was God because he did take it on himself. And no one else could have, no man could have taken on sin of the world for all time. And we know that he'll restore us. As we leave this earth, we're restored. We're restored in our glorious body that we'll get. So we can have a physical healing, which is temporary. But what's more important, the point that I want to make, is that we are eternally healed. We're eternally healed. And will we have tribulation in this life? Absolutely. the Bible's clear. We will suffer tribulation and suffering and trials, but we have to have that faith of what's ahead. And like Lisa said, Jesus had to suffer. If the Son of God had to suffer, why do we think that we are not going to have to suffer? I mean, why do we think that we're above Jesus, above what he was, you know, what he wants for us? Because God is worth it. We know that he's worth it. Jesus is worth it. And I wouldn't change a thing about what I had to go through. I wouldn't change not one thing in those 4 years of suffering. That the tears, just the dread of getting out of bed in the morning, just the everything I had to do to get through the day, not knowing when it was going to end or if it was going to end. I know that nothing is more important than what he gives us and what he gives us in that end result. To experience the Spirit of God moving through my body, it's like that verse, Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. There's no comparison. It's like Christ's glory is up here and our suffering, it's way down here. You know, his glory, that his glory might rest upon us. It says that, you know, his glory will be revealed in us. How we act, how we treat people, how we show the love of Christ, how we can witness now, how we have the compassion to do that. We wouldn't have it without the suffering. It would not come. It doesn't come natural to man to be compassionate, because we're just so sinful and selfish. And we're so me. What did the lady say last night about the kingdom of me? I was like, wow, that is so cool. The kingdom of me. I really like that. Because we've all been there. And we know that's very real. And I'll share one thing I remember recently about, within this year. After this happened. After, you know, I felt the Spirit of God run through me. You think, okay, I get by now, right? But I don't, because I'm a sinner. And I struggle every day. But I remember going through something really hard and not understanding. And I was like, Lord, you know, oh me, poor me, this is happening. And you know what I felt? I almost felt like the Lord got really angry. I felt his displeasure in that. I felt him just get like, what are you doing? Have you not already seen what I've done? Have you not, you know, experience the Spirit of God enough? And we all have in different ways. Maybe not that way. It's not going to happen that way with everyone. He never works the same way twice. But we've experienced God already. We've experienced who Jesus is. And then we continue and we fall into that self-pity. You know, it's not pleasing to God. It's like a self-worship. It's like you're starting to worship yourself when the focus needs to be up here. You know, come up higher. Worship me. Look to me. Surrender to me. Give me your will. Let my will take over. Because my will, the will of humans, it's messed up. 2 Chronicles 16:9. Who's there? Who wants to read it? Anybody there yet? No. I'll let you guys read one. Give my voice a break. 2 Chronicles 16:9. Somebody stand up and read it for us. Come on, be bold.
For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. And this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you shall have wars.
Mm-hmm. So to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him, or obedient, or enduring, like the soldier, or committed, or disciplined. The Lord's eyes are running to and fro the earth, looking throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on his behalf? Don't you want to be that person that the Lord stops and says, that daughter of mine has suffered, and she's endured it, and she's got through it, and she went willingly. She went willingly and bowed her will down to me, like Much Afraid in the book. You got to read the book, you guys. It's an incredible journey. We have to bow our will down to God's and let him take on ours. I know that if I hadn't surrendered and looked to God and his plan for me and just said, here I am, Lord, what do you want to do in this? You know, I know he would not have healed me. He would not have wanted to restore me emotionally. You know, the pain was one thing, but it was the emotional as well. And I hid it really well. I went to church and I served God and I hid it really well, but inside I was broken. But I had to go willingly to God and give it up. I had to get out of my self-pity. I had to get out of my depression, and I had to look at the Lord who already did it on a greater, you know, scale than I could ever have had to endure it. And what did he do? He did it willingly. He suffered for me willingly. That I'm going to have eternal life forever with God in heaven. We don't know what heaven even has for us yet. But God knows. So he puts us through suffering and diseases and everything else so that we might ultimately end up with him. That eternal healing. And what we have to go through now is small. It doesn't feel small when you're going through it, but it is small in comparison to his glory that'll be revealed in you. However that is, that, you know, there may be a miraculous healing in front of other people's eyes, so he's glorified in that way, or that you can go to your workplace and someone receives the word from your mouth and they get saved and then they have eternal life forever. That's glory. That's glory. What, I mean, that we can give our kids the word of God and that they carry it throughout their whole lives, and how many people are they going to touch and bring to heaven? That's glory. I don't know what it is that God has for you, what, you know, seeds you're sowing out in your suffering, but there is seeds in your suffering. Believe me. I know it. He doesn't do it on purpose. He doesn't do it accidentally. He doesn't do it for any arbitrary reason. He sees the first float and the last one at the same time. And every obstacle to get, you know, to the end, he has it specifically designed. Specifically, militarily, strategically, however way you want to look at it, God has it completely planned out the way he needs it to be for you to touch lives throughout your journey here. You know, we touch so many lives. Our family members, our friends, our co-workers, our, you know, people we're in school with, whatever. We touch so many lives. You know, what are we sowing out of us? What's coming out of that grieving? It should come the beauty. You know, we want to go from ashes to beauty. Ashes to beauty. Suffering to healing. We want to go from low to high. Come up higher, my beloved, is why we're here. But what is it going to take to get there? Yes, suffering. But mostly the surrendering in that suffering and the giving up your own will in it, wanting your own way. One more last verse I'll leave you with. Jeremiah 33:3. And this is just given to me by a friend who texted to me just the other day. Actually, a lady in my Bible study that I don't even really know that well, but she sent me this verse, and I was praying, Lord, you know, what do you want me to say, and what do you want to show, but how do you want me to end it, how do you want me to start it? And I didn't have an ending. I was like, I don't have, I kind of still, you know, trying to get my ending. And this lady at from my Bible study just texted me. Like I said, I don't really know her that well. She was going to come to our church. But she texted me Jeremiah 33, and she said, you know, the Lord put you on my heart today. The Lord just put you on my heart. And I was like, wow. And I answered her back, you know, well, that's awesome. You know, she doesn't hardly know me. But the Lord put her on my heart. And she sent me this verse, and it says, call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Call to me. Come up higher. Give it to me. Surrender it to me. Give me your will. Let me overtake it. Let me envelop it into my will for you. Because I know what's best for you. I know what your end result is. You don't know. You have limited vision. So call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Let's pray. Father, I do just thank you, Lord, for your truth, Father, your scripture that speaks so loudly and so clear to our hearts, Father. I thank you for turning our lives, Lord, from ashes to beauty, Lord. Even if you don't take away the physical pain, Lord, or the disease, Father, we can find your joy, your peace, Lord. We can surrender to your will and display that to others so that they see Jesus in us, Lord. That's our greatest purpose in life, is that Jesus sees, that people see Jesus in us. That we don't just say, I'm a Christian, but we act like Jesus. And we act like we love people, and we act like Jesus when he loves people, and have compassion and mercy on people, Lord. And when we reach out and we take that extra step to comfort those who are hurting, Lord, and broken, Father, and who are lost and depressed and anxious, Father, I pray that you make us soldiers, that we put aside our own pains, Lord, and that we just look to you, Father, and the greatest example. Jesus was the greatest example, and he gives eternal healing. Lord, if we could just get through the hardships that we have here on earth so that we might get to you, Lord, and find our place in heaven, Father, forever, for eternally, to eternally with you, Lord God, in heaven. That's where we want to be, Lord. Let us be kingdom bound. Let us have our eyes looking up. In Jesus' name. Amen. How that time went fast. I got a clock right there.